this day. And certainly, God, we thank you that you have preserved our lives throughout the watch of the night. And certainly, God, we thank you that you've given us another opportunity to hear what you are saying to the church. Please, God, again, open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be fertile ground. Pray, God, that these words will fall fresh upon us and bring forth fruit in their seasons. And God, that we will go out from this place speaking as oracles of God, telling the dying world about the risen Christ. And our testimonies, Lord, will be validated through our living. We pray, God, these prayers, knowing that you not only hear, but you answer us. And God, we are so thankful that you answer us. Father, we ask that not only do you bless us, but bless our neighbor, the stranger, and even, Lord, our best friend, that we would all come up together. What a glorious day it's going to be when the church comes up together. Thank you, God, not only for these who are present, but those who will have the opportunity to hear us through other mediums. And we certainly pray, God, that their lives will be changed as they settle in for this hour of learning with us. We certainly, God, ask that their lives would become strengthened as well. And we pray, God, that the global church will rise up, binding up the enemy and building up the kingdom of God. Lord, hear our prayer and forgive us of our sins, we pray. Have mercy upon us, we pray. We're fighting the best fight we know how, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew 5 for just a bit, and we're going to pick up again. And again, I want to encourage you to know that the Word of God is applicable. It's applicable to every person in this room. We must move beyond the day when we think that the gospel, the Word of God, is just for a select few people. It's for all of us. And what God is saying to one of us, he's saying to all of us. What God desires for one of us, he desires in our own right for each of us. Nobody's going to get cheated. Amen? Nobody's going to get denied any good thing, because that's not how God operates. And so until everybody believes that they are being spoken to by the Word of God, then the Word will fall on deaf ears. But it's our responsibility and our right response to say yes to everything God says to us now. We can't keep talking about when I get through this, or when I get through that, or when that's over, or that's over. It's always going to be something. I think every one of us, if we gave you an opportunity to walk up to the mic, you could stand here and tell us all about your somethings. But you got to press. And so I encourage you to realize even now that God is saying something tremendously wonderful to you, and that your life is a light. Your life is salt. And there's nothing to be denied you when you put all your faith in God. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's go back to Matthew 5, and we're going to look again. We started at verse 13, and we talked about being salt, and we talked about the global ministry. We talked about how important it was for us to be lights and to understand that we are to be visible. We are to be vocal. We'll be vibrant. Those three things are critical: visible, vocal, and vibrant. The Bible says, let all the earth keep silent, but that doesn't mean all the time. There has to be a voice coming out of the church. If you look at what's happening in our nation presently, you've got, I think, 17 Republicans that want to be president. You've got, I don't know how many Democrats. I think we got three or four of those. But, you know, you're not going to know anything about those people if they don't have a voice. If they're not visible, if you don't see them. In fact, I think Fox decided not to let one candidate appear in the next debate. I think there's 17, so they said they're only inviting 16 because this person has no play. They're not relevant, and that's what's happening to the church. We're losing our relevance. We have no play. People don't care what we say anymore. You know, there was a time, and most of us are old enough to remember. Minus seven or eight of you. But most of us didn't remember that nothing happened without the church. Amen. That's right. The reason the movement and civil rights was so prominent is because the voice came from the church. That's right. Otherwise, it had no credibility. When the Black Panthers were trying to get their message out, and this party and that group and this group, they're just a bunch of radicals, a bunch of clowns, you know, they violent, put them all in jail. But when the church spoke up, the world took notice. And so we have the same God, then why not have the same power? Why don't we have the same impact? Because we decided to go quiet. Our message is the message of the cross. Our message is not violence. Our message is not down with the man. Our message is not, our message is lift up Jesus. God before us. And so you got to be vocal, you got to be vibrant, and we got to be visible. He says that nobody with any sense would hide their light. Nobody would do that. Because one, without light, darkness takes over. There has to be light. No one would do it, but he says specifically to them, don't hide your light. And that's what I'm saying to you. Don't hide your light. All of our lights aren't the same, but all of us have a light. All of our lights are not the same, but our source is the same. Okay? And that's where our energy comes in. And that's why we don't have to be envious of Elizabeth's light or envious of Reverend Uriel's light or Sean's light or Brother McKenzie's light, because our source is the same. We all drinking from the same well. We all eating at the same table. I remember when I was younger, and we had the big table and the little table. Remember being at the little table, that little plastic chairs and ugly yellow table down there. You couldn't come to the big table yet. You weren't ready for big table life. But boy, when I got to the big table, my first day at the big table, I spilled my fruit punch, got sent back to the little table. But the fact of the matter is, we're all at the banquet feast. We're all VIP guests. We are all honored guests. And so he says, listen, don't hide your light. Work on your light. Make sure that you polished it up and prepared yourself so that when you do speak, you speak with authority. You speak with clarity. Grandma and him used to say, when we used to do our Easter speeches back in the church, every grandma and every auntie and every mama, whenever you got up there and looked like you wasn't going to make it, what they say, take your time, baby. Come on, Lord, help him. That's what God is doing all the time. And we need to take our time. Don't rush in. That's why the Bible says, suddenly lay hands on nobody. Take your time, because the world needs us. Our wives need us. Our sons and daughters need us. Our neighbors need us. The stranger needs us. He said, don't hide your light. Say something. Speak as an oracle of God. The Bible tells us how to engage one another, how to communicate in psalms and hymns and spiritual. You are global. I've said this to several people in conversation. Tragically, a whole lot of folk have never left Lynchburg. Don't want to leave Lynchburg. Like it here, love it here, amen. But we're global. When we go on our vacations to Disney World and Myrtle Beach and Hilton Head and Vegas and wherever we go, we're vocal, visible. They see us. Church groups sponsor trips to Vegas all the time. How many of you all saw The Price is Right the other day when the man won the $15,000 and was praise dancing? They couldn't stop him. Drew Carey kept trying to stop him, and he was going in. He knew what praise meant. The Lord made that wheel stop on 15. Amen. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father. However he do it, thank you, Lord. And that boy was, Drew Carey trying to stop him, he was all over the stage. He went to backing that thing up. I said, look at that boy. But the reality is, somebody saw that and said, ooh, God is good. Amen. Go on your Facebook page. Somebody will probably send it to you. Every post in there had something to do with thank you, Jesus. Everything we do, people see us. Yes. I saw Audrey and Sam the other day. She might not have known. I was standing looking at her. What is Audrey doing in the wine section? I said. No, I'm just kidding. She was in the meat department, which is close to the wine department. But, people see us, and they know who we are. How many times has somebody walked up to you and said, ain't you? Don't you go? Don't you work? Ain't you so-and-so's child? Ain't you in so-and-so's family? Everybody sees us. Then let's get our message out. I told somebody the other day, we have failed miserably in the 52-week ministry. We're too shadowy. We walk around like we spies. Sliding in, no one be seen. Listen, the world needs us. He said, don't hide your light. He said, listen, put that thing out there. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, put it out there. You got something to show. Your pretty self. Use your looks to draw men to the church, sisters. Use your handsome, demure brothers to bring these sisters in. You're a good-looking brother. Stand on the corner with your patent leather shoes, well-shined, and your bow tie, and say, look here. I want to go to dinner? Church first. I mean, you got gifts. Reverend Muriel, you don't do nothing. You got gifts. He said, listen, don't. He said, let that light shine. We all like the spotlight. We try to play it if we want to. All of us like the spotlight. We're expected to be the spotlight. The Bible tells us we are. It said men will come and ask of us. We should expect to be interviewed at any time concerning our faith. That's what he tells us. He said, concerning your faith. And I don't want to ask you a whole lot of other stuff. You know, some things you got to tell them, cut to the chase. But the reality for us is, he said, listen, don't hide that light. He said, put it out there so they can see it. Find it attractive and say, ooh, that's amazing. You ever been outside on a late night, it's been pitch dark, and you light up one candle or turn on one light, and bugs come from everywhere? You don't have to call them. Just turn the light on. And next thing you know, they're all over the place. You know, and they're crashing into things, you know. And the reality is, Raid and a couple of other companies figured it out. Said, well, listen, if they like light, let's make it where when they come to it, it'll kill them. So they use these little lights, and when you hear, and you be sitting there going, thank you, Jesus. But they're using light. They know everything. They don't know no better. And I'm convinced that the ignorance of the world, they don't know no better. If you become such a brilliant light, they don't know, you know, folk will come to you and don't know why they came to you. Because you built the better mousetrap. But you're light. He said, listen, whatever you do, don't. He said, and let it shine for everybody. Listen, we're not going to grow our church talking to the same people that already go to church. We keep that. You want to know why our ministry? Listen, stop trying to take folk from other people's church. If somebody tell you they're already in a ministry and they're thriving, say, okay, well, bless you, man. We'll be praying for y'all. Y'all pray for us. There are enough unsaved folk out there. We can't just keep going to the same old people. You know, we got homecoming coming up in a few weeks. Man, we ought to pack this church with strangers. Amen. Just tell them, say, listen, man, I love you. I want to see you saved. I want to see your life change. I want to see you happy in the Lord. I'm already happy, but there's another kind of happy. See, you got to know how to go with them. You know, some of you sisters remember that persistent brother wouldn't let it go, and you finally went, okay, I'll go one time. And brothers, you knew how it was. You done propped your foot up on that old bumper, that Chevrolet. You done polished it up with turtle wax. That's all we had, a J-Wax kit back then. And you pull up in front of that gal house. You wasn't leaving till you had your way. She going with me today. Her and her daddy's shotgun. But you were persistent. Why don't we get persistent about growing our churches? We got to be persistent. Don't take no for an answer. Just wear them down with the love of Jesus. He said, listen, it's for everybody. You know, we can't walk around here singing all in my home. I'm going to let it shine all on my job. And don't nobody know you're a Christian on your job. And when you get home, you take your robe off and leave it in the car. Your Bible is in the trunk. No. He said, let everybody know. If everybody who knows you don't know you're a child of God, then you have not done your job well. Everybody should know you're a Christian. Everybody, even a man at the liquor store ought to know you're a Christian. I mean, only us fooling ourselves. Everywhere we go, you shouldn't back in nowhere. You don't have to put on sunglasses and a hat. Fight the good fight of your faith. You're the only one got a habit or a proclivity or a fault. Everybody's got them. Look at your name and say, rest, child, I got one too. I didn't say hold up this many fingers now. Everybody struggles with something. You anybody see any bolt of lightnings lately? Knocking folk down? Anybody see anybody caught up, taken away lately? No, that's not how God operates. But you shouldn't be ashamed of who you are. You know why? There's a biblical principle. You deny him in the earth, he's going to deny you before the Father. You got to live responsible lives. I mean, that's important. Please understand that there is a great standard to this life. And I'm convinced that the closer we get to the Lord, the further we get away from some things. I think that the fear for many, and I got a point here a little later, I'm going to bring it up, but let me give you a coming attraction. I think the fear for many is that we realize that. We know that the closer we get to God, we're going to leave some things. Our problem is we really don't want to leave them. We like being the center of a trick. We like being the one at the party that when we come out, we know everybody going to back up because we finna bust a move. We like being the funny guy, the funny gal. We like, you know, wearing the thing and being the thing and bringing the thing. And so what we realize is if I give up all this, all I got is that. When has God not been enough? How can God not be enough? God has a sense of humor, too. Yeah. Church folk will laugh at you just like everybody else laugh. Only difference is that my teacher used to say in the third grade, instead of laughing with you, they're laughing at you. Yeah. In the church, we'll laugh with you.
That's right.
See, you're so funny. You are a clown, right? But see, the world will do that different. They'll call you a clown and go, she's so stupid. Every time she comes, get on my, hey, what's up? No. You can't be afraid to leave things to be in a better relationship with God. You can't, you know, the Bible says that two become one. Got to leave the mother and father and become one. That's how it is with God. You got to leave some stuff. But I really am convinced that the reason a lot of folk never sign in, never really get enlisted with God is because they got too much stuff they don't want to leave. God already knows your struggle. You don't think that because you came in with empty pockets that God don't know you got some stuff in reserve. He loves you. He really loves you. Nobody will ever love you at the forgiving rate that God does. Because even when you thought it, he still loved you. When you put your hands to do it, he still loved you. When you lied to man, to mama and to daddy and to wives and husbands and cousins and friends, he still loved you. He knew the truth. He knew where you just came from. He knows where you're planning to go this afternoon. He knows where your stash is. He knows your other name. He knows your other social security number. But he still loves you.
Yes.
You ought to thank God that when you get to heaven, you don't have to present proper ID.
Thank you.
Some of us be standing, which one of these driver's licenses? I'm supposed to show you. But God loves you. And he says, listen, I have an assignment on your life. And I need you to fulfill it. Everybody needs to see that. He said, listen, what you've got to understand is that the greatest praise is from your Father. And I think that's what hurts a lot of us because we're so accustomed now to being appreciated by people. And that validates a lot of us. And I want to caution you, stop being validated by people who don't have validation authority nor power. Man can't make you no greater. Because whatever greatness he gives you, when you're not in his favor, he'll take it away. How many of you have ever seen people who were, as we say, brown-nosed and are sucking up, and then when the boss or so-and-so didn't like them no more, they snatched it right out from under them. And they were standing there with nothing. Now, you have alienated all of your other workers and all of your other family members and friends for the girl, the guy. You know, some of us do it to our family. Some of us meet a particular person, and because that, I don't like your mama and them. I don't want to go over there. And so next thing you know, you're not even going to see your own mama because she don't like your mama. You've alienated yourself from your family for her or for him or for it or for that. And when that or it or him or her is gone, you have nothing. But I'll tell you who still loves you.
Amen. Amen.
He always will.
Thank you.
And that's why keeping him first shouldn't be a problem. Because anything that I have to have in my life that wants to be bigger than God, I don't need it. Anybody whose voice wants to be louder than God's, I don't want to hear them. Anyone whose presence wants to overshadow the whole room, unlike the Shekinah and doxa glory of God, I don't need it. And you got to have that kind of constitution. Part of what we're talking about on Thursday, you got to have that kind of discipline where you say nothing first save God.
Amen.
That's what happens to a lot of people. We get sucked into thinking that our praise of man is so important. Ooh, don't nobody make a casserole like you. And you spend the rest of your life baking casseroles and skipping church. Oh, you the best mechanic in town. So you open up a shop, and because you got another job Monday through Friday, the only time you can work on folk cars is Saturday and Sunday. And God loses connection with you. Not because he moved, you moved. The praise of man. Oh, man, you do that like nobody else does. Come on, we're going to have you catering now on weekend affairs, and by the time you get through catering and cleaning up, you can't make it to church on Sunday morning. Are you DJing now because somebody told you you sing so pretty, so you drive all the way to Maryland to sing at somebody's wedding, and you decide the reception with them, and then next thing you know, your head's so tight you can't drive, but you were supposed to sing a solo Sunday morning, but y'all don't pay me for that at the church. I got paid for this, and you lose God. Y'all don't like me now, do you? The praise of man. And he tells you, he said, listen, you're going to get your praise in heaven. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. God, we thank you for that sister who can sing. God, we thank you for that brother who fixed my car. God, we thank you that she fed me when I was hungry. But nothing takes the place of God. Nothing. I'll tell you now, some of you know me well, some of you know me lightly, but I'm telling you now, my testimony is it is all because of him. The clothes, the shoes, the house, the car, the kids, the bills, everything. Because if it had not been for the Lord, if I had kept going the way I was going to go, I used to tell folk, if I live past 25, y'all better call somebody. I ain't lacking no good thing. Nothing. It's all settling down. Took a little while. Why? Because I ruffled a lot of it up. But I kept my eyes on the important thing. I've lost friends. I don't get invitations. I ain't got the pals I used to have. Somebody once told me, you too biblical. And that came from a man who called himself a servant of God. He said, you know, Reverend, you used to be all right when you first came, but you done gone too deep. That's right. One of our former disciples told me that to my face. You used to be all right when you first came, but you too deep now. All you talk about is Bible and church and disciple. Like that, you know, man, you got to let it lighten up sometime. The Bible said, no man knows the day nor the hour that the Lord's going to come. I sure don't want God to catch me in a lighten up moment. How about you? I'm going to keep my hands to the plow. It's a little dusty out there sometimes, a little lonely. There's a little creek down there. Go get a drink of water every now and then. But have I lost anything in Christ? Have you? Let them leave. Let them walk away. Listen, sometimes it's good for people to leave you. You may not realize it now, but sometimes it's good to be kind of isolated and quiet so you can spend more time with God. Because I'll tell you, if there's one thing I've learned about hurt, it'll make you look for help. The Bible said, the hands that hurt me have helped me. Sometimes when people did us the worst they could do, it pushed us into the bosom of God. There was no other place to cry. There's no other place to be heard. Come on, stay with me. I know this works. And I thank God that I really believe that sometimes God used my enemies to make me a better servant. Because oftentimes, folk you thought were your friends were just trying to stay close so they could see and report. But I thank God he pushed me. My knees got bruises on them too. I got scars. But so does he. And mine don't even compare to his. But he said, when you live your life in such a way, the praise goes to God. I can't tell you how many times people in my family, even a few friends, have said, man, I thank God for what he did to you. I was worried about you. I didn't know what was going to come of you. I knew you were in trouble. But the praise goes to God. Yes. But you're lights. You can't become independent. Don't run that chance. Don't put the light out. Don't get so frustrated that you just quit. And frustration can become fatal. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to keep believing. Can you imagine? Can you run down the roles of your life for just a moment and think about the most enjoyable times of your life or the most fulfilling times of your life? It was when your faith and your hope, your courage and your confidence were on an even keel. You felt invincible for a time. There are periods in, I think, all of our lives when we are very euphoric. And that is the time when we owe God our greatest praise. Because if you're not careful, you'll become the apple of your own eye. You'll become your own agent of resource. The Bible tells us, well, it's really an old song, but you got to look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you. Even in the worst of times, I love him that much more. Amen. And when I thought I was hungry, I wasn't really hungry. I just didn't eat right. When I thought I was poor, I just was poor with managing my money. When I thought I didn't have, it's because I didn't know how to do inventory. Come on, stay with me. I've never been treated poorly, not by God. The Word of God tells us, I have never seen the righteous forsake. We forsake ourselves and then try to blame God. Come on, let's be honest. How many times have we cheated ourselves and just had to put the blame on somebody? So we blame, and that Lord didn't do. My grandmother said, don't you fix your mouth to tell that lie. He's been faithful. All the praise belongs to him. So he says, make sure that you understand every life is an assignment. Every assignment requires alignment. Every alignment has within it authority that we can be action makers. And within the authority, because what God is saying to us is, it's going to take some work to do this. But I've authorized you that no thing shall be too hard for you. See, again, you've got to stop. You've got to stop just reading the Word of God. You've got to start living. You got to make it happen. When I was a trooper, we used to say that no matter what happens in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it ends in Area 7. You know, we used to get pursuits that come out of Richmond and come out of North Carolina. And we had a little pack. We say, oh, it ends here. And they're not going to outrun us. They're not going out. And we tore up a whole lot of people's stuff because we had a pack. We said, they come in, bank robbers, fleeing felons, it ends right here. Because we had a pact. And in the body of Christ, we ought to have a pact. Nothing gets by us. Nothing is too hard for us. We make ourselves struggle because we are liars and thieves and robbers and dishonest. And then we want to say, well, maybe it ain't the will of the Lord. That's a lie. There's nothing we cannot do. We're lights. Why would God put us on display for people to say, that ain't worth nothing? People travel the world to go see. Any of you ever been to see one of the great monuments of the world? You know, those things that people sell, you know, they're things that people go to, just stand there and go like this. Wow, that's us. We're the greatest thing God ever made. Forget headstone and seven wonders and six wonders, you a wonder. Can you tell me how your heart beats? Can you tell me how a touch becomes a thought, a sensation? You're a wonder. That you think to lift your leg and it actually comes up, you're a wonder. And you can actually look out and see stuff and know what it is. You're a wonder. You know the difference between grapes and brownies. You're a wonder. I mean, anybody know how taste bud really works? How can you taste multiple things at one time? You are a wonder. You're amazing. In fact, would you go ahead and tell your neighbor, you are a real somebody. Talk about multitasking. You can walk and chew bubble gum. You're amazing. I mean, the mere fact that we can go from walking to running back to walking is amazing. We can be 120 pounds a day and 160 pounds next week, but we're amazing. It's truly something to see what lights you really are. And you shouldn't let that moment pass you. I look on Facebook sometime and I laugh because I look at how people don't realize the ministry that's right in front of them. Your face is a ministry. The things you say is a ministry, or a ministry, rather. When you take a picture of your family, that's a ministry. And you don't realize that. Don't waste time putting stupid stuff on Facebook. You ain't got to preach either, but I mean, what you say ought to say something. And he said, listen, you have an assignment. All of us have an assignment to actively seek and bring people to Christ. Every one of us had that assignment. That's not just a pastor's job. If you're really sitting around here waiting on the pastor to grow your church and sustain your church and pay the bills and keep everything, the church is going to fail. Every church is going to fail. There's not a pastor in the world that can do that. And don't you let nobody minimize your pastor either. He's amazing. Did that come out? Yes, it did. Here, the reality is, he said, listen, every one of you has something. And so... It's critical for us to understand that we're to strengthen, sustain, stabilize, and stay in the body of Christ, the church. Strengthen. We got to make this place better. We shouldn't be sitting around here trying to decide how to do ministry based on last Sunday's offerings. We can't keep doing that kind of stuff. We can't, listen, the food ministry died because nobody wanted to do it. I can't do it. Everybody, I can't believe Brookville ain't doing the food ministry. That was an inside slam. No, nothing should die in the body of Christ. But I couldn't find nobody. I pooled folk and said, you know, I ain't got time. I got us. I mean, okay, so now what do you want me to do? I can't sustain the whole thing. I can't keep everything going. I can't drive the truck, load the truck, unload the truck. I mean, come on. We have gifts, talents, and abilities. I don't think there's anything God ever serves up that we can't handle. Clothing ministry struggles. Because we don't sustain it. I see the stuff y'all wearing. I don't ever see nothing look like this down there. Y'all outgrow stuff. Y'all get tired of stuff. You know, the stuff down there don't look like the kind of people that go to this church. Come on now. That you go down there, you tell me, that ministry looks nothing like the people who God takes care of in this house. Nothing like it. What do you want me to do? All right, here he go again. What do you want me to do? Engine number 9. Going down Chicago. If the train goes off the track, who you think they're going to blame? Not the workers that put down the rails and the ties, the engineer. It's all his fault. And you know what? If it's going to be all my fault, then I'm going to have something to say about it. We're not sustaining the church. We're not strengthening the church. This is not making us stronger. This is making us weaker. Somebody's going to come along and marry this young lady, and he's going to say, baby, we're moving to North Carolina. She's gone. Somebody's going to come along and say to one of us, here's a great job opportunity. And we're going to pray about it, and God's going to say, that's your promotion. Let me tell you something. Never deny God's right to promote people because you're selfish. People deserve to get promoted. Everybody ain't supposed to stay here. That's why people are supposed to keep coming. I really believe in the kingdom of God that we stagnate promotion because we're pathetic in the process of bringing more disciples. Yes, we do. It's our fault. And we're not stable because at any moment, financially, we could collapse. If another air conditioning goes out or the roof blows off, we're going to be in a real problematic place. But we'll keep going to our house. And I ain't got no problem with that. I want to see all y'all live in nice, fine houses and drive nice, fine cars. That's wonderful. But we shall not neglect the house of our God. And I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about learning, serving, All of it matters. And your light is a part of all of that. Don't you think God ever has a disinterested moment in your life? He does not. God watches everything we do. Everything. And all of it matters. I used to tell my soldiers, Brother Thomas can relate to this, be the task great or small, do it well or not at all. Once a task has begun, stay with the task until it's done. No matter what we're doing. If we out here just picking up rocks, let's get all of them. You know, the military, we used to paint trucks all the time. Every time we turn around, first they told us we were going to Europe, so we painted everything green. Then they said we're going to the desert. We painted everything sand. Nope, now y'all going to Europe. The next conflict going to be in European. Paint everything back green. Then they said, oh, no, it's coming in the desert. Paint everything back. And we spent all our time. We got so good at painting, we thought we were Mako. We got to paint so well, Coach, that the commander came down and said, listen, y'all taking too much time with this. We were detailed. Other platoons would paint and have paint all over the windows and all over the wheels. No, man. We were taping off stuff, putting newspaper on the glass. We were lining off the wheels. Man, I said, hey, this ain't no show. We said, for us it is. We second platoon. We don't care what third herd do. We don't care what first platoon do. It's second herd. And we do it like nobody do it. And sure enough, man, the brigade commander came down one day, trooping the line. Stop. He says, walk down there. Man, we had all our trucks, bumpers, you know, everything was just spot on. Colonel Myers said, whose trucks are these? Mine, sir. He said, come here, Sergeant. Stepped up. He said, you keep your trucks like this all the time, or you all did this for the brigade inspection? I said, sir, if you ever see one of my trucks that don't look like this, you throw a rock through the window. He chuckled. Commander standing there going. You know, I'm Leroy. Everybody knew how Sergeant Mitchell was. He said, well, let's see. So he pulled out our BII, all of our axes and shovels. When we used to go out and we worked. When we finished, we'd come back with sandpaper and sand off all the dirt and crud. All of our stuff looked new. We actually would take our handles and shellac them. He pulled out the stuff. He did two trucks. He said, I can't go any further. He said, you have ruined my inspection process for the rest of my life. He said, I thought I had inspected units that were top-notch. This is way beyond anything I have ever seen in my entire military career. Sergeant, give your men a five-day pass. First sergeant looked, said, well, sir, you know, we got to fill out the. He said, no. I didn't say put them on leave. They don't have to fill out a leave form. For 5 days, this platoon does nothing. He said, if you ever need anything, Sergeant, you come see me. Oh, don't think I didn't turn into the biggest snitch in the unit. I would go up to the brigade and walk in and say, the colonel knows me. But my point is, if we are to represent God, how much is too much? This is our product. You are Greater Brookville Church. Brookville ain't me. It was a Brookville before I got here. There's a better one now. But you are Brookville. You make us what we are. If you don't sustain us and strengthen us and stabilize us and make us a show place, who gonna want to come here if you don't want to be here? Who gonna want you to serve them if you don't want to serve? You ever been somewhere where somebody served you and you knew they didn't want to serve you and you said, never mind? My wife gets embarrassed often. We were out of town last week and we went to a restaurant and it did not go well. She was giving me that look. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. I said, this ain't working for me. And the famous word that she does not like to hear came out of my mouth. Can you bring me the manager, please? She said, oh, Lord. I said, go ahead and eat your salad. You good? And the manager came and smiled. I said, can I help you? I said, you most certainly can. Do be seated. I slid over for the manager. But when she got up, she said, thank you for your comment. This is unacceptable. She said, can I take this and show them what a medium steak does not look like? I said, you most certainly can. Depart in joy. And she left. Free is a good word. I'm God's man. That's my baby. You're not going to serve me like this. That's not what I ask for. I serve a God who is far greater than Lone Star Steakhouse, who says I can have the desires of my heart. That's not what I wanted. That's not how I envisioned it. God allows us to see things. And so it is. Why would we keep minimizing ourselves? We're not the tail. We're the head. We're not the borrower. We're the lender. God has given us carte blanche. Asking it shall. You know, sometimes I wonder what this congregation is asking for. Or if anybody's asking at all. Is anybody else on their knees and their face before God besides me? We shouldn't be struggling around here. We should be the creme de la creme of ministries. And there are others who are alone, and there's a certain place where certain people reside. We should be there. We shouldn't be in the also-rans. That's not how God made us. And he says, you've got to realize that you are global. You have an assignment that's way bigger, far bigger than what you see in this local ministry. You have the authority to do greater than the minimum, at least. And always compare yourself to something bigger than you. Can't walk around here and go, well, at least we better off than that little storefront down there. You think they want to be that way the rest of their life? They're looking at us. And if you don't keep moving, somebody will catch you and pass you. And the Bible says you'll be a byword. They'll walk by this place and say what used to be. And that's our fault. It can't die on our watch. So he said, you have that. Let's go to 2 Peter. Am I talking right up here? Okay. And you people listening out there, call us. Talk to us. I'll tell you what I said. 2 Peter, if you will, please. It's not too late to grow again. It's not too late to get it back together. You're still alive. Doesn't matter. You know, you're not, you know, I used to, Deacon Anderson, I used to tell myself, boy, if I could be 25 again, you know, if I could be, well, about 2 minutes into that, I realized that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get the former glory. Can I tell you something? Stop looking for the former glory. There's a now glory. You can still be the guy, the gal. You can still bring great sway. You can still walk into a room and shake up the room. You can still get people to sign on like you signed on. You're a recruitment poster. Why? Because you have global assignment, global authority, global alignment. When you leave the church, you don't lose connection with God. You don't lose the promise because the benediction was given. And what I really love about God is you don't lose the promise even when you mess up the promise. God is not an Indian giver. That's a simple way to put it. I'm still a pastor even when I mess up. I'm still a child of God even when I'm not a good husband or a good father. You know, you don't lose. God's going to know, well, seeing how you done messed up, I'm just going to take all that back. Well, God, everything yours, what am I going to have? You gave it to me. Now you're gonna take it back. Well, you know I'm frail. I'm schizophrenic. You know I'm not stable. God, why would you tempt me like this? Why would you give me everything and take all of it? That's Hezekiah. God does change his mind. In fact, God really had a plan all along for Hezekiah. It was not so much about changing his mind. I think he just wanted to put Hezekiah in a place to make Hezekiah realize I really need him. Before the man of God got to the portico, he had to turn around. God said, oh, go back and tell Hezekiah. I heard him. I think sometimes God just wants to hear from us. And see, some of us mess it up that whenever God does send us a message of rebuke, we rebuke him back rather than repent and say, I'm sorry. Well, he won't take it, let him have it. And we got that problem in this church. I got too many folk around here. As soon as you chastise them a little bit or say something to them, well, forget it. I'm sick of that. Tired of people quitting on God because you ain't quitting on me. Because if you really served me, it'd be different. I'd have a different lifestyle if people really served me. I told somebody the other day, I was at the car wash. I wish I had a driver. It'd drive me home. That's how lazy I was, Deacon Anderson. I started to call you and say, can you come take me home? You'd have came. Yeah, I believe you'd have come. I'd have called Jasmine. She'd be like, what? Who is this? Stop playing, Pastor. Listen, I'm telling you something. How do you quit on God who never quits on you? And too many people are too sensitive. You know rightly you shouldn't have nothing. You're not worthy. None of us are. You know, you're rolling your eyes at me. None of us are worthy. But, I mean, how do you get to a point in your life where you become so internalized that because you mess up a thing and somebody brings to your attention, you're going to blow a gasket? I won't do nothing then. Well, the reality is the reason you're probably getting fussed at, you wasn't doing it as well as you could have done it. When I was in the military, before the military, even when I was my grandmother's grandchild, my grandmother would tell us to mop the floor or sweep or do something like that. And she would actually come behind us and go, excuse me, you finished? And you'd be like, yes, ma'am. Oh, no, baby, you ain't finished. Come here, honey. And my grandmother, with her little short, fat self, she had a way of putting that little skirt, pull it in the front, and she'd been out and say, look here, honey. When you sweep, you don't find stuff like this, baby. You understand me? And you can't throw the broom down and walk away. That's grounds for a big slap. You know what you did? You went back to the corner. And she didn't play that pickup right here. You start over. And she said, I get it right. And this one, we've done that 4 or 5 times. Sometimes I think she was coming in and like do a little drop on us and then come back and go, what about this? Now, wait a minute. Now, I know that wasn't over there. But you wouldn't say that to Grandma. She made me pay attention to detail. She taught me how to line my belt up before I got in the military. She taught me how to button my buttons and put my button line, my shirt jacket line, in line with my zipper line. She said, now, good young men dress sharp. She taught me how to straighten a bow tie, how to comb my hair, and to get my eyebrows down. You couldn't be looking like Dr. Seuss. She said, come here. And you didn't go no spit on me. Every grandma had a little handkerchief and would do the old, you know, and you stood there and smiled, smelling like breath. Amen. He said, listen, you got to keep growing. Listen, I'm trying to help you. You are too valuable to the kingdom to devalue yourself with stupid responses. Everybody gets straightened out sometime. None of us are perfect. But how do you quit on God? How do you stop going to church every Sunday? How do you stop being on time? How do you stop giving praise? How do you stop tithing? I read the tithe report when I got back here Monday and sat in my chair and just threw my hands up. I said, how do you go from this dollar amount to this dollar amount in 7 days? I said to myself, I wonder how many people must have lost their job between Sunday and this Sunday. Because you work the same, you got the same income. How do we go way up here and fall way down there and we working in the same place, living in the same house, driving the same, if not newer, cars? I pray to God that the day comes where our church starts looking like us financially. Did I go too far? You ain't seen nothing yet. Second Peter, did I tell you to go there? Am I helping you a little bit? Have you fallen out of love with me? I pray not. Listen to what he says, 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read a few things. He said this letter, verse 1, he said this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave. This guy's proud to call himself a slave. Notice he doesn't say apostle first. Then he says, I'm a slave. Watch this survey. Don't pan the camera. Don't move it. But how many of you would be honored? Back up. How many of you are honored to be recognized right here, right now, as a slave to God? then live like that. Slaves don't offer their opinions. Slaves don't flake out. Slaves chop, chop, bolly, bolly. They know where they're supposed to be. You know, if we came to church around here like slaves, this room would be packed. If we came to Bible study like slaves, if we came to prayer meeting like slaves, because listen, no slave is derelict in their duties. They don't want no stripes. They know the punishment. See, again, how are you going to be a servant if you can't stand chastisement? How are you going to say you promised him that I would serve until I die? And when somebody said, listen, you wasn't in position. Well, I got other things to do. You're a slave. You do what you told. I ain't hear no lot of amens. That's the only reason I'm in Lynchburg. A guy asked me yesterday, I was getting my hair cut. He said, Reverend Mitchell, what brought you to Lynchburg? The Lord's assignment. He said, I thought you, he said, you're not from here? No. And if God hadn't called me, I'd have never been here. I had no cause to go to Lynchburg for nothing. And the only reason I stay is right here. It's an assignment. And I didn't get to vote. God put it to me, and I had to decide to be obedient. I'm a slave. I come to half full Bible studies because I'm a slave. I read jacked up financial reports because I'm a slave. I teach folk who don't want to learn because I'm a slave. If I had my way, I'd cancel all of it. You know how we used to do in the military? We look at the roster, who signed up, not enough people signed up. We cancel it due to lack of participation. I'd have grounds for that around here, and I shouldn't have those kind of grounds around here. I should be overwhelmed. We should be sweating because there's too many people sucking up the air. That's why I wasn't in no hurry to fix the air conditioner. I figured, it ain't that hot in here. We don't rightly deserve to be in the air conditioner. I'm a slave. That's the only reason I do what I do. And I'm proud to say it. He says, apostle is the highest rank. He put slave, the lowest rank, first on his resume. God, I wish y'all could hear me. He puts the worst thing you could put on your resume at the top of his resume. In his greeting, he says, I am a slave and apostle. And see, reality, beloved of God, we're slaves. I know some of you are having a civil rights moment. Not that kind. Not that kind. We're slaves to God. What I know about being a slave to God is he knows how to take care of his slave. Amen. They eat good. They rest well. They get time off. They get to heal when they're hurt. He comes by and kisses them on the face. He doesn't even have a whip nor chains. He loves them so much, and they love him so much, they don't need chains because he knows they ain't going to leave him. I wonder how many of you can God trust with liberal freedoms, because I've discovered in the body of Christ, the more God gives us liberal freedoms, the further we get from God. Because some of us, when we didn't have nothing but a hoopty and a few dollars, we came to church and fell on the altar every Sunday. But now that we done been promoted and got a fine car and liberal opportunities, our vacation seems to coincide with our service to God, which means God gets pushed to the side. I've never been anywhere that I can't go to church. Amen. And I got that testimony. No such thing as time off when it's service time. See, again, he says that there has to be credibility. He said, listen, I'm a slave and apostle. Now watch this. He said, and I'm now here's where I really start shaking, Deacon Anderson. He said, I'm writing to all of you who share the same precious faith we have. So if we all sharing the same thing, why aren't we the same? Why does this church look like this? We obviously not in unison together. We're not unified. We're not a union. We're missing something somewhere. As we would say in the military, the headspace and timing is off. That's why we sound like we sound. We don't have high worship every Sunday because the headspace and timing is off. Our offerings don't look the same because the headspace and timing is off. What are you saying? I'm saying we don't think on Jesus enough. And we're not true to task. Every service around here has a start time. We should all be in our place. Timing is everything. Everything. If in fact we understand him, then our amens should be about assignment, alignment, authority, and action. We cannot keep saying amen if we don't understand assignment, alignment, authority, and actions. As Rod Stewart would say, "Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you. It's late September, and I really should be back at school." We're dragging. And so he says, you have the same thing I have, then you ought to be like me. You have the same God I have, then you ought to be like me. You have the same faith, the same power, the same authority, the same assignment, the same alignment, then you ought to be like me. In the famous words of the Sesame Street logic, one of these things just doesn't belong here. Can you guess which one? If we're out of alignment, we ought to easily be able to identify that, but not for the sake of departure, but for the sake of development. Please understand me, beloved God. I love you. And if I say something to you, it's not to make you leave. It's to make you stronger. Amen. Soon as I say something, I'm just gone. Well, where you going? The Lord our God, he's everywhere. Where you going? I'm going to join another church. Well, I'll take your sorry, pathetic behavior somewhere else. You ain't going to help them. Because I'm telling you, you'll go over there full of gangbusters for a few minutes, but the real you going to show up.
All right.
I've seen it. I run into all of them. A whole lot of them, Lady Anderson, and testified to me, the Lord called me. I'm going to do thus and thus. And when I see them in the Kroger, in the food line, in Home Depot, since Candace's not here, we won't say Lowe's, and they give me the same lie. I said, well, you preaching yet? My season coming. You go there every Sunday? I still work some Sundays. Your family there yet? Because you said you wanted a place your children could grow. Our Sunday school wasn't good enough. We wasn't doing enough for the kids. Your kids go every Sunday? Because I did read in the gotcha paper that your son was arrested. And I saw your daughter the other day. She's still cussing. Roll her eyes at me. I spoke to her. She told me to go mind my business. But you said you were going to take them where they could become more godly. We wasn't good enough. So how's it going for you? There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You don't need to keep hopping from one church to the other. You need to just sit yourself down. That's what you need to do. And see, nobody wants to admit that. Our tenacity, our due diligence with you is not about departure, it's about development.
Right.
And if we lied to you, then call us accountable to the lie. But if we told you the truth, then give us credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. He said, am I helping you?
Amen.
He said, listen, we have the same thing. He says, and watch this, this is what I love. He said, it was given to us by Christ, and it makes us right with God. If we're going to be anything to do alignment, assignment, and understand authority, we got to be right with God. You spend too much of your energy trying to be right with people who really don't have no authority over your life. You're trying to curry favor with man and curry favor with your buddies and you figuring, well, if, you know, if I treat him right, he's going to treat me right. And if I do this, they'll give me the job. Or if I go over here, they're going to remember me. Get right with God and all things will be given to you.
Yes.
Because God keeps every promise. He cannot lie. He said, listen, what we understand is that this unity makes all of us right with God. Therefore, we don't have to have envy, jealousy, or strife among ourselves. We can really celebrate with you when things go well. We can celebrate with you, and we can struggle with you when struggle comes.
Yeah.
In other words, we're not going to abandon you and go, hey, yeah, you just getting what you deserve. If all of us got what we deserve, we'd be dead. All of us would be dead. Me too. He said, listen, please understand. Watch this now. Verse 2 says, then here's my desire for you. May God bless you with his special favor, wonderful peace. Watch this now. As you keep growing, as you get to know him, God should not be a stranger to us. His name shouldn't be hard to fall off our lips. Our praise to him should be as genuine as when we win the lottery. Because we know him. And too many of us, maybe not you, but too many, all these empty places here, are strangers. But yet they want God to be familiar on their terms. When they want a healing, God's got to be familiar. When they need to pay a bill, God's got to be familiar. When somebody's in trouble and we need a pass, God's got to be familiar. Nobody in this room should not have a relationship that is uncompromised with God. Not just because you got the job, not just because you got money, you should know him. And it should always be about him being lifted up and magnified. There should always be praises, adoration, reverence. Sitting around here with an attitude and coming, now listen, Grandma used to tell us, you better fix your face. We used to get stopped at the bottom stair of that little old church down in Jacksonville. And she said, before y'all go in the house of the Lord, you better get it together. All right. Mama used to pull us off in that old Buick, and she'd stop, turn around and look over the back seat and say, let me tell you something. All that mess that went on at home, you better forget about it. You going in the church, and you better look like you want to be here. Our choirs used to march in singing, we are soldiers in the army. And they would rock that thing. And when I was in the choir, Mama would look around and go, I don't want to sing today. Mama said, you don't get to wanna. Any of y'all mama used to tell y'all that? You don't get to wanna. Mama said, you don't have no choice. You live in my house. You eat my food. My mother could go down that list and not miss a beat. You sleep on my sheets that I wash. You sleep in a bed your daddy and I bought. You wear clothes that you don't pay for. And you eat too much anyway. You know, and so where your choice come in at? She said, if you plan on sleeping and can sit down, you better get yourself together. Daddy used to tell us, I'll make it where you can't sit down. And he didn't have no problem with it either. I knew he meant what he said. And I knew if my earthly father meant what he said, my heavenly father sure enough can be counted upon. Amen. Am I helping you? Amen. He said, listen, you've got to come to the place where you know him. And watch this now. Deacon Anderson, he gives us every indicator that this is for the rest of our life because he said it's got to get better and better. Amen. You can't be a one-hit wonder. We got too many one-hit wonders in the church. We came one Sunday and felt the good move of the Lord, and we joined and signed up, and then the next Sunday we couldn't find you. We made two Bible studies in a row, but the third one was too complicated. He said, you got to get to know him better and better and better. When you got married, you didn't get married just for the weekend, did you? Just for the honeymoon. It was for better or for worse. And some folks say that's why they won't get married, because I'm not going to do that better or worse. I can do bad all by myself. They made it a testimony. And I don't argue with them. I said, well, baby, if that's how you roll, roll with it. Just no testifying. Listen, all of us, as my great-grandmother said, can use some churching up. You got to know him better and better. You can't serve God one time and close your resume. You can't be the van driver for 1 month and say, well, that's it, I'm done with that. Somebody else can take over. I done that, been there, done that. Those testimonies are not valid in the church. We promised him that I would serve him till I die. Are you dead? And see, when I ask people them questions, they look at me and say, Pastor, you're trying to be funny. No, I'm asking you a legitimate Bible question. Because the Bible says, excuse me, be thou faithful even unto death.
Yes.
How did your faithfulness wane so quickly? How did that happen? Were you short on faith from the start? Then you should have grown in your faith. Mm-hmm. I've taken up too much of your time. But I'm trying to help us. I'm trying. And I shouldn't be trying by myself. Amen. I've come to learn when folk help you, you ought to help yourself.
Amen.
We too thin around here for no reason. All of you are living the best of your life.
Amen.
Right now. Your now is going to affect your next. If you don't start working on your now, you're going to corrupt your next. Amen. And then you're going to blame other folk. No. Mm-mm. God is faithful.
Amen. Yes,
I said it right. God is faithful.
Amen. Amen.
There is no reason for any of us to lack confidence, to lack consistency, to lack commitment, to lack conformity. There's no reason. There's no such thing as, well, Deacon Anderson, he different. Trustee Price, well, you know, that's how she is. She chose to be that way. And you should too. I had a simple policy when I was in the military. Wasn't nobody going to outshine me. Because as soon as I figured out how you spit shine your boots, I'm going to do the same thing. When I figured out what dry cleaner you sent your uniforms to, I'm going to do the same thing. Because if you could look like that, so can I. They gave us the same uniforms. We got the same. Now, unless you bought some Cochran's, but they gave everybody the same thing. We all start out saying, God is no respecter of person. If Deacon Anderson can do it, Deacon Campbell can do it. If Trustee Price can do it, Trustee Thomas can do it. Ain't no such thing as envying somebody who, well, she always up to the church. She always up in Pastor Faith. Every time I turn around, well, quit turning around. Be steadfast, unmovable. Stay focused. You shouldn't let nobody outshine you. Nobody should beat you to the church. Nobody should beat you on your post. Can you imagine that kind of attitude if everybody in the church tried to get here first? We'd have a jam in the parking lot. No, you go, no, I'm going, no. But can you just imagine with me what God would be saying about a church like that? All the deacons came in together. All of the trustees, all of the ministers, all of the choir, instead of coming in like popcorn, boop, 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 boop. You know, that's ridiculous. When we said fall in, you were there. God helped the soldier who was running toward the formation when I said fall in, because I had me some tail gunners. I had two soldiers that I put in the fourth line, fourth rank, fourth squad, that were peeping over their shoulders. And, oh, you might slip in and the first sergeant don't see you. But soon as formation broke, they came and said, Sergeant Mitchell, old Joe was late. Mm-hmm. Come here, tent peg. And they knew I was going to get them because, see, they thought because I had my back turned, I can't see. I got eyes. And you paid for it. But you know what I found out when folk pay? They don't keep playing. They tighten up. Oh, you don't be late around my stuff, but one, two times. God, I wish I could run this church like I ran my platoon. Woo, what a tight ship we'd have. But I can't. All these Volar people. See, you couldn't walk away from the army. You had a commitment. Every soldier in my platoon, I put his ETS date on my chart. And I knew I had him till then. You can't go nowhere. Where you gonna go? I want to get in the first platoon. You mind? I don't do draft choices. I picked you. I used to go in the first sergeant office when new soldiers come. I said, give me that one, and that one. You mind? You ain't going nowhere. How me? But I was in my other unit. You say you're what now? Your other? Oh, so this is your now unit. I don't care what you did in Germany. You know, when I was in the Philippines, Sarge. Hey, Sarge, I'm Sergeant. My rank structure says Sergeant. Don't call me no Sarge. That's not on the board. I ain't dude. I ain't homeboy. Now, when we get off from work, I'm Sergeant Homeboy. But it's still Sergeant. I mean, let's not make this thing what it ain't. The only reason we know each other is because we wear this uniform. Mm-hmm. I used to tell them all the time, otherwise, I know I wouldn't like you. I was honest. I tell them, otherwise, I know I'd have a problem with you. So since we wear the uniform, we got to look out for each other. I don't want your kids to be hungry. I don't want your wife to be unsatisfied. So I made sure I took care of all 55 of mine. Haven't been, I had it standing time. But my point is, I wish I could pastor like I was in the military. In the words of the Hulk, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. God said the same thing. Don't roll your eyes at him. You don't want the wrath of God. And so the reality for us is, we have this assignment. And next week, the Lord said the same. I'll read it to you when I get over to the Ephesian letter, but there's some more stuff I want to teach you, but it's right at 11 o'clock, and I know how church folk are. But he said, listen, the text is obvious. He said, you got to grow. And growth brings grace, and grace brings glory. Don't miss that. When you grow, God will give you more grace. If you ain't growing, you ain't entitled to grace. Growth brings grace, and grace brings glory. That's why Jesus said, Father, I'm giving back to you a greater glory because I know you gave me grace. And I proved myself. Can I tell you something? You ought to want to prove yourself. You're not children sitting in the sand. But, you know, this baby, you know, she got a lot of time before proving ground is required. But you can't let her languish. You know, if you're her parent, you got to make sure she get trained. My mother used to say all the time, don't y'all go embarrass me. Because she trained us. And, you know, whenever, you know, we would mess up, my mom would say, he did what? Oh, I know you didn't do that. No, sir, I know. And, you know, you stand there with that dumb look on your face because you were trained. You can't say she didn't tell you because she knew she did. And what I discovered as parents, even the stuff they didn't tell you, if they say they told you, they implied it. You gotta shine. You are lights. Every one of you is a light. God would be unfair if he did not give you the same thing he gave everybody else. Here's why. Nowhere else to get it. There's nowhere else to get this light. There's nowhere else to get this joy. There's nowhere else to get this strength. There is no other God but God. Amen. There are no alternatives. He said, I am that I am. And I will give you whatever you desire. But you got to grow. Amen? God, I want to shine. You can't keep languishing, making excuses, and throwing temper tantrums. Can you imagine Moses just throwing a hissy fit before God? What would have happened to all the children of Israel? You do know that your life matters to many. Don't ever think that your life is singularly independent of anybody else's. Your life matters to many. Amen. In whatever industry or whatever employ God has given you, your life matters to many. Don't ever forget that. You are not some single item out there in no man's land, and what you do don't matter. It matters. Everything you do is attached to somebody else's life. The Bible said that the head is no good without the arm, the hand, the foot. All of this is connected together. We're all in this thing together. And thank God he trusts us with this assignment. We should be honored. Sound like Peter, I'm a slave. Whatever else you are, slave ought to be mentioned first. Who cares if you own your own business? So what? God gave it to you. Who cares if you're the supervisor? Who cares? You're a slave. God made you. You owe him that. Employee of the month, so be it. There's another month coming. You know, we're slaves. We ought to be honored. And our service is always first to the Lord. Remember what the Bible says, everything you do it as unto the Lord. That ought to shape us up a little bit right there. I know I'm on overtime, but I'm feeling it right now. We have another opportunity. That word reprieve keeps coming in my mind. We got to take advantage of this new time. It may not come again. I don't know. I don't know when the next reprieve will be given. I'm going to take advantage of this one. God said reprieve. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the opportunity again to have heard what you're saying to the church. God, let us now take full measure of this. Let us grab hold and not let go. God, let us run this race. The course is set before us, and nothing is impossible. The obstacles, the obstructions, God, we can get over them all. Because as long as you're for us, that's more than anything that might come up against us. The devil is a liar. I'm not finished yet. I'm not disqualified. I'm not the worst of them. I just got to do better. So God, forgive us of our former transgressions, bad attitudes, lethargicness, apathy. The list goes on and on. But Lord, let's just start afresh today and set our eyes on the prize. Paul says we've got to press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. God, let us press in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.